Vega's Straw by Zizo Kalante. They used to say the earth was in danger of extinction, but they were wrong. The earth would be fine. It could go on without us. We should have been worrying about us. We should have been making plans for what happened. Sora tells me that there was no way to predict which numbered straw would crash and be the weight to end it all. The straw that broke the camel's back, she said as she drew an animal in the dirt with a bubble on its back. Sometimes I forget what things used to look like, but Sora remembers. She tells me that way back, before we were born, people lived in the wilderness and carried their history and stories. She was always interested in the memory keepers, and it's no wonder she's assumed the role. There was a book Sora used to read to me when I was 6 and we lived in the city, before Vega crashed into the backside of the earth. Sora still liked books, although most everything was done on electric screens you'd touch with your fingertips. I remember the screens used to read, and you could talk to them. Interactive memory, they called it, or IM for short. Everyone used the system, but Sora kept some of her books, even when they had a donation call. Every book from every household was to be dropped in blue garbage bags and put out on the street. For a week, it looked like clouds had fallen from the sky and landed all over the city. The bags were taken to the Library of Foundations, where they were stored for safekeeping, and where you could request an electronic version to read in the upper reading rooms of the library. Most people, though, preferred the visual adaptations. You'd enter a single pod, be put in a relaxed state, and experience the book like a visual dream. Sora kept 3 real books, hidden in a compartment of her bedroom wall. One of them was an ancient story of Christmas, where I first saw the drawing of the camel. There was also a drawing of a bright star that hung in the sky. Once a year, during the hour of cooling, when all devices were turned off for a brief reset, Sora would take me to the roof and we'd watch the stars. I didn't believe they existed until I first saw them. They were only visible for 1 hour every year. Sora had a real pine needle taped to the inside of her Christmas book. She'd stolen it on a field trip her class took to the tree museum. We laugh about it now, in the sad way of knowing, in a recollection of innocence. Today, we live in forests of pine trees under a night sky full of stars. They had it all wrong. The earth itself would be just fine. Sometimes the old world feels like a dream, like a movie I once saw or a book I read so long ago, I can't remember it was real. Some say that the earth had been rebelling for years in the only way it knew how. The tide shifted around the globe, and earthquakes and tsunamis desecrated the coastlines, forcing us inland. Back then, the media flooded all circuits of communication, stirring fear and scarcity into the people. A huge mining incident from the supposedly secure underground mines leached iron ore into the water supply. The media showed us murky, dirty water and thousands of fish floating lifeless along the surface, attracting hordes of birds and clouds of shifting shadows. I had a friend in one of my classes who'd migrated from Hawaii when the waters lifted and the islands receded into the sea. His father had a boat, and he was one of the lucky ones who escaped. Kainoa was his name. We watched the birds together on the screen in our classroom's silence. He'd seen it before, he whispered, and told me of how they'd brought a ferret-like creature called the mongoose over to Hawaii to eradicate the rats. But rats are nocturnal, he said, and the mongoose is active during the day, so they had both rats and mongoose. He predicted the birds would die too, and he was right. Our leaders had created a delicate system. We didn't realize how delicate until things started to collapse. For years, the leaders had been in control of nature, able to wield its power, gather resources, and utilize its abundance. After the first few earthquakes, when the population migrated inland, they set up living grids and pushed production into factories that established underground. It was rumored that under the concrete and tar lived a city of wires and hundreds of miles of servers working 24 hours a day to keep us alive. I was just a boy during the third migration, when the cities had been established and the leaders were proud to show off the world's new structure. After the earthquakes came the wildfires. When the riots started, those who made it alive to the cities gave up everything outside for the pods of safety, food and shelter. There wasn't much to give up at that point. The only criteria for city entry was health, determined by a drop of blood in a vial of pink liquid. If the vial stayed pink, you were fine. Sora said that some of the vials turned black, and people were drugged outside of the gates, screaming. The earthquakes had shifted something prehistoric, and a bacteria called the Ashala began to proliferate. Sora saw some of the images on the screens. People's lips and fingernails turned black, and the bacteria ate their digestive organs, so no food could be absorbed. Sora said they looked like dead skeletons, walking. All those deemed healthy and accepted into the city were vaccinated. All those outside were left to die. Sora, Mom, and Dad and me lived in the city for 8 years before the sky fell. No one predicted that. Everyone thought the city kept us immune from harm. I saw it first. It was when the sun began to dip, and I told Sora that a star was falling, like the one I remember from the book she'd read to me, the bright one above the town called Bethlehem. I'd never seen a star while the city was in motion. It was a white flame with a tail swishing back and forth. Sora turned on the screens in the house, and it was on every channel. Would the white light flame miss us like a tracer zooming by? Sora said we should wait for Mom and Dad, who'd already be on their way back to us. She paced the house, whispering, "The straw that broke the camel's back." On the screens, there was speculation. Voices hummed in rising tones. Sora paced in front of the screens. I watched from the glass window as the white fire collided with the earth. Sora pulled me backwards as a shock wave hit the city with a thundering crash. Everything glass shattered. For a moment, there was silence. And then the ground fell and everything went black. Voices, shouts, crying, screaming, people running. There was no backup plan for the city. The city was the backup plan. I remember the dark clouds, how we couldn't see, and how Sora never let go of my hand. I remember falling, but not escaping the building, not escaping the city. I remember Sora pulling me forward along unsteady ground, coughing. I kept replaying something Sora once told me. She'd held up the book and pointed to the star on the page. "I bet you this is Vega," she'd said. "It's the brightest star in the whole sky." They used to say that the Earth was on the edge of extinction, but they were wrong. The Earth is a carnivore, and after it ate itself, it was fertilized to grow again. After Vega's falling, the Earth was a different place. It had to go back to how it was in the stories Sora told me of old. Today, we have 30 people in our community, including 3 new babies. There's another village over the mountain, and one closer to the ocean, where California used to be. Sometimes on clear nights, we can see the smoke from their fires. Once a year, we all meet, taking turns hosting in each village. It's strange how some things seem inane, written into the fabric of our invisible blueprints. Like how each village has a memory keeper, but we never had that in the city. This blueprint runs back thousands of years. On the weeks of gatherings, Sora spends time with the other 2 memory keepers. They share the big events that happened that year, the new discoveries, medicines. Sora says that this year, the mountain village saw their first deer family, and the ocean village has fish again. This year, our village had peaches, some with lumpy, misshapen outsides, real ones with sticky juice. People seem happy. We don't take things for granted because we've seen so much disappear. The kids born after the city are told stories of the world before, but I wonder if when they close their eyes, they have a point of reference for any of it. They sleep surrounded by trees stretching up to the sky. This is the only world they know. Sometimes I dream of the old world, of our house in the city, of our parents who didn't make it out of the city's collapse. Sometimes I dream of touching the pages of Sora's books, of the feeling of a single stolen pine needle. Sora remembers the books, and if I ask her, she recites the stories. When I close my eyes, I'm back in our city room, watching her hands turn the pages. As I fall asleep, I hear her whisper in my memory as she paces behind me, "The straw that broke the camel's back." In my dreams, I trace my finger along the glass and steer Vega around the bend of the earth. But sometimes, and I've never told this to Sora, sometimes I don't.